Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Secrets of Sacred Healing, where we share tips and techniques for helping you be the architect of your own healing and transformation. I'm Barbara Starflower, and I'd like to offer that the intent on this program is only to offer information of a general nature, so nothing herein should be taken as medical advice, nor a diagnosis or a prescription in any form. As always, thank you for making the sovereign choices that are best suited to you in your quest for well-being. Okay. So let's get right into some sacred healing information, and today we'll be talking about cultivating peace and harmony. And so let's start with, well, what can detract from our peace? Well, perhaps we might be tempted to think, well, it's that person. If they weren't around, I would be peaceful. I imagine that's a common thought out there, and we'll talk about that. Or we might think it's that circumstance or occurrence, or multiple things. If not for that or those things, I would be peaceful. And we'll talk about that too. Still, all the while, perhaps we could consider that what detracts from our peace at the core or at the root level falls under two broad themes. One is our lack of faith in our ability to change our environment and our circumstances. And the other is we are attempting to change things which are actually not ours to change. And let's start with the second one, where we attempt to change that which is not ours to change. And this also can be discussed under two main themes. One is trying to change others, and I think we know we're not supposed to directly try to change others. Still, knowing that this is such a strong hope for many people that we so much wish for others to change, especially if we live with them or work with them or otherwise around them a lot, we might want so much for them to change. So knowing this can be a common sentiment, we'll come back to this and address it later. And the second theme that falls under attempting to change that which is not ours to change is trying to do too much. In other words, extending ourselves, even emotionally, beyond what we ourselves are meant to tackle. And an individual human, perhaps we need to realize we just can't do everything at this point. And I know there are many causes out there that can disrupt our peace, inequities, injustices, things that could be better, and we want to see improvement. It can be a lot. And we may worry that there's so much to do. But when we consider that we are not the only one that seeks improvement for those things, that there are literally billions of people and many more beings that are also seeking improvement, perhaps we can take some comfort from that, knowing that collectively we can make tremendous strides across many subjects. Are there really billions of people seeking improvement? Really? Yes. It's just that all the good things that are happening do not often get reported. And things are improving across the globe. Try not to give much energy to those that would like us to believe otherwise, or to those that only report on problems. We can instead seek out and align with those that are making a positive difference. Now, no one is denying there are challenges, but we just don't want to direct our energy or focus to the problems. See, problems are created from lower vibrations, yet where we find optimal solutions are at higher vibrations. So we need to rise up to a higher level to accomplish true progress. And as we put our focus and our energy toward solutions, toward improvement, keeping our hearts open to solutions no matter what, we can make true progress. And once more, as we realize that at our current state as individual humans, we individually are not meant to do everything, we can take a little solace at least, and again, know that we are not alone in our desire to see improvements across society and our beautiful planet, that we are definitely not alone in our efforts to make a positive difference. So knowing that we're not alone, we can narrow our own focus to those things that most resonate with us and that are within our reach, those things that are important to us, where the joy and satisfaction of pursuing them energize us. There are things that align with each of us specifically, and pursuing those is where we can best make a difference. And collective changes start with individual changes. When we commit to our own peace and pursue improvements, we automatically take an active role in helping heal humanity. So when we find where we can contribute to improvement, things that touch our heart, if we're worried about them, let's remember that worry in and of itself can be detrimental if we do nothing productive with it. Where worry can be helpful, though, is when it inspires us to take positive, helpful action. And taking action is where we can make a difference, as can keeping our thoughts on the positive, on the possibilities. And how often have we worried about something and it never happened? When we have those worries, we can remind ourselves of that. Or when we are concerned about something distressing happening, how about thinking the opposite? It is just as likely that something wonderful will occur. Truly, we are worthy of good things. Please remember that the better off we are, the more we are able to help others. And I certainly believe the universe would support that idea. I believe the universe is deeply supportive of our well-being. And that's not to say that things don't happen sometimes. As magnificent beings, we can be given opportunities to stretch our spiritual legs from time to time and to strengthen them. And that's okay. We endure and we get stronger. We get to find and develop the best version of ourselves when we are challenged. It's up to us how we navigate our experiences. We have the opportunity to be heroes in our own lives, and there are many ways to do that. And let's give an example here. If we're worried about, let's pick climate change or pollution, we can quickly turn our attention instead to what we can do and keep our focus there. So we go from worry to positive action. For example, if we're worried about climate change or pollution, we can plant trees or take small steps in our own lives to reduce emissions. There are many people, for example, who are converting their lawns and lands to native habitat or to food or therapeutic sources that thrive in their area or in their particular landscape, those that do not require excessive inputs or resources. So these natural or edible landscapes are designed for less work, such as no mowing, etc. And they offer an assortment of bonuses, such as, again, food or therapeutics, benefits to the climate, to the air, to the water, bird and pollinator habitat, beauty, and so on. I know people that have fields, for example, or large lawns and have devoted sizable portions to native habitat, herbs and trees, fruit shrubs and trees, and are so much happier, me included. Natural vegetation can heal an area and help heal our natural resources, including us. Or perhaps we can find a landowner who's willing to plant some trees on their land. Trees can increase property values. And here's a tip. In many areas, the Soil and Water Conservation District offices at the county level have annual tree sales at deep discounts, usually around the February or March time frame. At least in our area here, it could be different based on where you live. So let me give you that information again. It's the Soil and Water Conservation District offices at the county level, and you can check into that if you like. So once more, if worry is detracting from our peace, let's say we're worried about something happening, that puts our attention to what we do not want. Let's not create issues that may not ever come about, even in our thoughts, which are quite powerful. Let's change our focus to what we do want and take action steps toward what we want. And if something ever does happen that concerns us, okay, again, well, we'll deal with it. What choice do we have? It's much better to handle something with grace and be proud of how we handled something. Okay, so what about other areas? Another example that can detract from our peace. What about, how about inequities? Inequities can be upgraded to equity, and injustices can be reshaped and re-architected in honesty and integrity and impartiality if we peacefully focus on integrity and impartiality. See, essential changes do not have to be traumatic. We do not have to obliterate something in order to make improvements. We can gently, step by step, make improvements. We can shore up systems, step by step, with sound and honorable measures, and people's hearts can be touched to be more generous in giving. That is already happening all over. And giving and being generous could be monetarily, sure, or it could be of our time, or of our understanding, or of our kindness. There are many ways to give. And the ability to give in some way is universal. Indeed, we can learn through ease just as easily as we can through strife, as long as we claim that truth and take positive action steps, even small ones. We do not need to add to the vibration of energy or suffering. We can add to the vibration of graceful improvement. And again, no one is ignoring difficulties or pretending they do not exist. We just keep the end goal of improvement as our North Star. And we can start right where we are, in whatever way we're inspired to do so. We can do this. We can absolutely do this. Imagine all the progress we can make as we each focus on improvement in whatever way or means that resonate with us. And a key aspect of this is a focus on peaceful improvement. Once more, focusing on what is wrong exclusively is not moving us forward. If we are here, we are warriors. But sometimes we forget that a warrior has two archetypes, and only one is as a combatant. The other, more effective warrior is a peaceful warrior. That version is truly effective, successful. We're actually destined to be peaceful warriors, helping to reduce strife and bring about true harmony. Now, maybe we need a new term, since the term warrior has the word war in it, which can connote strife. How about peace bearer? Hopefully you can feel the strength in that word alone, peace bearer. It is actually inherent in our systems to be custodians of peace, to carry positive peace, where we serenely and unfailingly focus and move toward true harmony and the highest good of all. We can be most effective when we calmly pursue advancements. And if you wish to, you can take it a step further and join me as an ambassador for peace. Now, I know people are angry about things, and some want to remain angry. Perhaps they're addicted to the charge that brings, or perhaps some feel their anger is righteous, and I understand why. And we are not denying the struggles. Actually, we're quite compassionate, but being angry and doing nothing productive about it only allows the anger to fester and grow, and is truly unhelpful. It's not progressive, and people can spend years or decades or lifetimes in that festering, stalled state. This tendency is based on looking at a situation in a closed way without moving toward the opportunities for improvement. And they can do that if they want, of course. It's their life, but how is that helping? And sometimes we hold anger over the past and bring that into today. For example, perhaps our ancestors suffered something which is not okay, but we relive that again and again as we bring it into the present. And what's worse, some people blame others or groups of people today who weren't even alive when the transgressions occurred. And will we divert an emotion from the source to another target? That is a displacement in a way, and we are responsible for that. We are responsible if we sustain the problem and actually create a new problem. When we realize that our every thought and word and action radiates energy, now we have some responsibility for keeping something unhelpful alive and giving it continued life. And some say we need to remind everyone of the problem so they don't happen again. Well, what about just reinforcing the new, better way instead? What if we turn our attention to improvement and keep our focus there? When we anticipate the worst in people, we entangle them and us in that energy. But when we are hopeful and anticipate the best in people, we can ignite opportunities for great improvement. And if some might be tempted to think, well, she must not have anything to be angry over. Well, no, I certainly do. I realize, though, that creating drama and turmoil does nothing to repair the situation. I choose to leave the past behind if it's unhelpful. And I realize the importance of putting my energy and my focus and my intentions on the present and on improvement. I know that is the best investment I can make. When faced with difficulties, I intend to think and act greater than the circumstances and to rise to a higher level. And really, we're all in this together, and we can, if we wish to, move past dwelling on unhelpful things from the past and just transform things for a better today. If we define ourselves as a casualty of circumstances or of a limiting diagnosis, we could lose the opportunity to stay open to progression or to true remedies. We can direct or steer any energies of anger or worry toward motivation and inspiration to contribute to what improves the situation that concerns us. We can make more progress by turning our attention to that progress. We can look for and create examples of progress and kindness and forgiveness and be strong and resolute and peaceful in finding solutions like the grand spiritual beings I know that we are. So if we are concerned or angry about something or worried about something, a remedy is to take positive action. You know, I mentioned before, I gave the example of pollution or the climate. How about if we, instead of worrying about that, how about if we just focus on how can we best support clean air and put our thoughts and our energy toward contributing to a healthy atmosphere and optimal climate? And then consider, okay, what can we do to do that? And some might be tempted to think, well, that what good is my small effort going to do? Or what good are a few trees going to do? If I could show you how much those seemingly small efforts can make a big difference, I would. Please, have faith in your contributions. So we can put what was once the energy of anger or worry toward accomplishment, and we can all shift from suffering to step to victory. If we are worried over hostilities or conflict, we can turn our attention consistently to peace and cultivate that where we can, right where we are. And if we feel we must do something about things that are more distant from us, we can remember the power of our thoughts and our words, and we can call upon peace and envision peace, and we can ask for divine assistance. Again, I wish I could show you how much that helps. And something else that can disrupt our peace is blame. See, we often live in a way that unsettles us. We blame others and we blame ourselves. But when we listen to our heart that knows the truth, that we're innocent and so are they, then we can soften and allow peace to flow in. Only then can we really be at peace. And if we can forgive ourselves and all others for our missteps, realizing that if we and they were fully self-actualized, we would not make errors. And so we can consider us and them as works in progress, on a journey, in school, if you will, learning and growing as though we are students that have not yet mastered the lessons. For example, of course, we would not berate a second grader for not knowing the level of curriculum of a seventh grader or of a 12th grader. We realize they're second graders, and we'll get there in time, and we all are really ascending our ladder of learning in some way, a ladder of enlightenment, working on our PhDs, not PhDs of book learning, but our PhDs of true mastery and real wisdom, of inner peace. And until we get there, we and all others deserve a little compassion, a little latitude. Sometimes we can be so tough on ourselves and others. We all, though, behave the way we do from our current level of consciousness. But then we insist we and they should have done better. But the good news here is we know on some level that we and they are better than that somehow, that we are better than our errors. We must know that there's a higher version of ourselves and of others, that there are higher possibilities. Otherwise, why would we be so tough on ourselves and others? Why else would we be so intolerant or so unforgiving? It's time, though, to release the burdens of blaming others and ourselves, and just decide to move forward from here, compassionately anticipating the best of ourselves and others. And what about, I know, when we care about someone and our concern for them disrupts our peace? Well, First, we can remind ourselves that they are free to live their own lives and are in their self-authority to direct their experiences, just as we are free to direct ours. But when we care about them, it can be challenging sometimes. I do understand. But they are sovereign in their will, and they have their own decisions to make. And I'm reminding myself, as much as you, they have their own choices to make, just as we do. And if they do something that worries us, if we become too controlling, or if they feel we are being too controlling, they might resist our efforts, since most beings take great umbrage to attempts to being controlled, just as we would. If we, though, focus on our own well-being, perhaps they could resonate with our example. Perhaps not, but that's up to them. And if we feel we must do something, perhaps another option is, with our care of them as our only motivation and in respecting their sovereignty, we can offer an idea, just gently and lightly put it out there, as light as a feather. And it might land with them, or it might not, but again, that's up to them. At least we can feel some peace in knowing we did what we could, not from a desire to control anyone, but from a position of care and respect. And if we ever feel bad about finding some peace and happiness when others do not have it, as if we are somehow dishonoring them, I understand, and I'd like to offer that perhaps the best way to honor them is to advance. And we need to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with our show, Secrets of Sacred Healing. Please do join us after this quick break.
The old adage, smell the roses, still applies, but now with Barbara Starflower's book, The Sacred Healing Alchemy of Flowers, it takes this adage to a whole new level. It gives you ancient, natural healing methods using the unique properties of over 70 different flowers. We're talking healing on a mind, body, emotional, and spiritual level. All in one book, all for you. It even has pictures. This is a great reference book to be used over and over again. Buy The Sacred Healing Alchemy of Flowers at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit barbarastarflower.com.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
As an accomplished speaker, college professor, holistic educator, Barbara Starflower knows how to use food, herbs, and flowers as restorative, botanical, and energetic therapies. Why not explore this at your next online or in-person group venue? Or how about a talk on cooperative and ecological cultivation, or even how to plant nourishing, reliable harvests on your own land? And much more. Get Barbara to speak at your event. It's easy. Just email grace@barbarastarflower.com. That's grace@barbarastarflower.com.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Your destination for healing with flowers should be barbarastarflower.com. There's so much information for natural healing, cooperating with nature, and other fun topics. Barbara is an ambassador for the earth and for nature, a longtime ecological grower, and an advocate for natural healing methods. So you'll learn from the best when you visit barbarastarflower.com. With microblogs, book excerpts, and advance information on her upcoming books and courses, you won't want to miss her website. BarbaraStarflower.com. Remember, positive impact. www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back to Secrets of Sacred Healing, where we've been talking today about cultivating peace and harmony. I'm Barbara Starflower, and thanks for staying with us. Okay, so what about someone we are in close proximity with that just annoys us? Well, for the time that we are in close proximity to them, we can focus on what we want and call no attention to what we do not want. For example, We can thank them when they handle a situation with grace, or thank them when they tidy up their space, if that's what unsettles us. Even if they just do one small thing that is favored, the point is to find something that they do well, and from a place of honest appreciation, let them know. Focus on that and build from there. And so for those times that we feel it is others that are disrupting our peace, or we feel a specific situation is responsible for disrupting our peace, as in, if not for this person or this thing, we would be peaceful. Well, this dovetails into a main theme I mentioned at the beginning of the show, and that is that what can detract from our peace at the core or at the root level is often our lack of faith in our ability to change our environment and our circumstances. If we, though, can remember that as we align to our higher nature, our circumstances can change in tandem. That is to say, if we were 100% peaceful, our surroundings would be too. And I understand if some might be tempted to disagree. It is not, though, someone else's job to make us happy, and it's not others' job to bring us peace. Sometimes we do need to move on from people or circumstances, but our current circumstances are a reflection of our resonance up to this point. And so they offer us a custom-designed opportunity to notice where we have opportunities to grow and to express ourselves in a new and higher way. In any case, what we can do is what we want to put our focus on, is the question for ourselves. What can we do? And when we consider what can we do, we take our power back, and that is yet another measure in helping reinstate our peace. And when we consider what we can do, if changing the outside circumstances is possible, that could be our action, if we feel that is the optimal action. As in, sometimes we just might need to disassociate from a group of people or a person, and we can each make our own choices there. If we're a member of a group, for example, that focuses on problems only without working toward solutions, if we wish to, we can choose to instead associate with those that forego fixating on problems or history and instead are looking for a better way. So we can reassociate with those that are focused on solutions. See, when we stop supporting the lower frequency, we have the opportunity to align to something higher. And when we do, our circumstances can change and realign to that higher vibration. We are each endowed with choice to release that which is unhelpful and instead put our energy toward improvement, and that can bring peace. Or if we're in a situation, whether perhaps a work scenario or relationship, where it feels that a change is not readily possible, then we can still take action. We can always move forward ourselves, regardless of what is occurring around us, regardless of those around us or situation. Let me explain. We can be impeccable in all scenarios and situations. We can take responsibility for our output, our actions, our interactions, and ensure they are immaculate in every way, of the highest quality, and we act with composure and grace. We can be calm and kind regardless of what occurs around us. We can remain in the highest integrity, and we can be serenely persistent in looking for the good, looking for improvement across all situations and scenarios. And I believe that when we do that, our circumstances have to realign to us. Sometimes we see incredible improvement in the relationships or circumstances we are in, or perhaps people might begin to fall away. Or perhaps we'll see doors open for other opportunities or other associations. We're in our power when we focus on our part, our contributions. It's all we truly have control of anyway. When we let go of the need to control others and instead focus on what we can control, which is us, we automatically regain some peace. So when we align to a higher version of ourselves, we discover that higher version in the current circumstances and relationships, and they shift in some way. Sometimes they prosper, sometimes they fall away. And if we no longer align to something less than optimal for us, we gracefully and honorably support its release. We are the mediums of change in our own lives. And it can help to remember that we are part of our experiences. And as a party to our experiences, we can change them. We can recreate things in a new way. And to recreate something that has been less than ideal, we need to shift from that lower vibration where the less than ideal situation was created to a higher place, to a higher level of thought where we can then see solutions. When we persistently focus on what we want with lightness and eagerness and peace, ultimately, one way or another, our circumstances can shift. Peace is not only possible, it is part of us. And in order to see it around us, it needs to be a reflection of what we cultivate within us. And as we transcend strife and embody peace, we provide that example to others. Others can witness the possibilities and can call that to themselves. If they wish to, it's up to them. And I've mentioned in previous episodes the Book of Knowing and Worth by Paul Selig is a great resource for these general ideas. Now, I do not know Paul personally, but I believe this work could be helpful to many. And we can also, I'll say, up-level ourselves organically and choose peace. If we wish to, we can imagine a platform a bit above us, and we can step up onto it, a platform of peace, and we allow the feeling of peace to surround us and permeate us, and we can add other attributes or states to the platform, understanding, forgiveness, clarity, whatever it is we want to embody. And when we feel ready, we can add another platform a bit higher with additional favorable qualities or states of being and imagine stepping up onto it and embodying those and just continue to climb. And I believe this exercise has been brought forward by Jim Self, if you want to check into his work. So we truly are endowed with self-authority to change our lives and our experiences. As aspects of our original source, we do have the ability to change our environment and our circumstances. And as aspects of our original source, why would we not be supported in living in harmony and peace? When we are feeling stressed or tense over something, we tend to have a restrictive resonance, which can restrict or confine our outlook. But if we can pause and breathe, we allow space for options and allow our awareness to open and expand to new possibilities. We allow ourselves to realign to things that can be different. We consent to better alternatives. And we have those opportunities to change. We are the authors of our own lives. So let's put in another break here, but we'll be right back with our show, Secrets of Sacred Healing, where we'll talk more about cultivating peace and harmony. And we'll talk a little bit more about ways that we can cultivate peace. And we'll also talk about some things that we can bring in physically, whether it's food or herb or aromas, that can also help cultivate our peace and restore our harmony. Please do join us after this quick break.
Trees are sentient beings that deserve our love and respect. They help us in so many ways. Just 1 acre of forest absorbs 6 tons of carbon dioxide and produces 4 tons of oxygen, so we can breathe easier and help the planet at the same time. Property values increase with trees as much as 20%. Placed properly, trees reduce your air conditioning and heating bills, improve water quality, and stop chemicals from entering waterways. Trees help people, animals, water, land, and air. So the next time you see a tree, say thank you. And take care of them. They're in your corner.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
It's time to transcend your personal struggles and reach your highest potential. So take control of your healing process, but you don't have to do it alone. Flowers can help. Get the information you need to heal on a mind, body, spirit level from Barbara Starflower's book, The Sacred Healing Alchemy of Flowers. Filled with beautiful photos, knowledge, and wisdom, you'll not only be able to heal yourself, but others. Get your copy of The Sacred Healing Alchemy of Flowers now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and find bookstores everywhere, or visit BarbaraStarflower.com. The old adage, smell the roses, still applies, but now with Barbara Starflower's book, The Sacred Healing Alchemy of Flowers, it takes this adage to a whole new level. It gives you ancient, natural healing methods using the unique properties of over 70 different flowers. We're talking healing on a mind, body, emotional, and spiritual level. All in one book, all for you. It even has pictures. This is a great reference book to be used over and over again. Buy The Sacred Healing Alchemy of Flowers at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit BarbaraStarflower.com. Remember, help for a positive life. www.healthylife.net.
Welcome back to Secrets of Sacred Healing, where we've been talking today about cultivating peace and harmony. I'm Barbara Starflower, and thanks for staying with us. So, another way to cultivate some peace is to help others if we can. Perhaps those who are struggling a bit, and it's not about comparison, ever, as we are each living our own experiences, but when we do help others that are perhaps struggling a bit more than we are reminded of the footing we do have, of the strengths we do have, of the blessings we do have. In order for us to be able to give in some way, we must have some footing from which we're able to do that. And we are reminded of where we do have that footing when we help others, and we tend to be grateful for that. And that opens a portal of energetic grace, as in, when we are grateful for what's going well, we tend to attract more of what's going well. Okay, so what about when we're worried over our health? Well, being in pain, for example, can be disruptive and tumultuous. I do understand. I've had various types of pain over the years, some that has brought me to my knees. And I typically do not share that so as not to focus on it. And although it's never about comparison, I realize that there are so many that have experienced far worse. And one of my prayers is that under grace, everyone receives relief. And fortunately, I currently feel well. I've invested in my spiritual and physical health, taking care to learn what I need to do to best care for myself, learning what's best for me. And a few years ago, I started reminding myself that discomfort is temporary and can pass, and that anything is possible, and that it's not uncommon at all to experience spontaneous healings. We hear of those all the time, and we know what is possible for others is also possible for us. And I keep a light heart and in faithful anticipation of continued improvement. And I've come to understand that we do not heal something by going into combat with it. That only creates even more disruptive and resistant and contractive energy. Everything we experience is a creation that may be altered. I have learned to realize that the pain is part of me, and I can change me. I have been changing me for the better. And I've been allowing space into the area of pain, imagining space, and more recently sending love directly into discomfort with great success. And I inhale divine love and support. Everything is frequency, and frequency can change. I remind myself all the time, we can improve. People are doing it all the time. Incredible healings. Why not us? We can reset things. We can rewrite things. If something does not serve our highest good, if it doesn't support us, let's rewrite it. I do believe we can serve better when we feel good, and I do believe the divine would support that. And there are several helpful works out there that have nudged me to some of these practices and realizations, including Book 4 in a series by Dr. Joseph Murphy on health and vitality. And we can learn and maneuver in gentleness and grace as easily as we can through struggle. And as we advance, the path can become clearer. And as we advance, we feel more comfortable and more stable. Our footing, if you will, although more ethereal, becomes immensely more secure. These opportunities are available to us all. It's time to align our circumstances and experiences to the highest possibilities. It's not for others to do for us. It's for us to do as empowered beings. And I like to go through these ideas, these concepts, because we can change our lives in an instant when we change our mind, when we change our outlook, and that is a true path to peace. And often, spontaneous healings and magnificent changes in our circumstances are activated when we have a change of mind or a change of heart. So I consider these concepts to be important, to be fundamental, to be vital. And beyond these concepts, and in addition to taking action toward our higher ideals, I also like to offer measures we can take or other actions we can employ, perhaps as therapeutics if you wish. So let's talk about additional things to support us in our cultivation of peace and harmony. And first, I want to encourage that if we wish to, we can always call on the divine to help us experience peace in the highest way, or call on the angels of peace to overlight us, or whoever or whatever you're comfortable with. And another way to cultivate peace and harmony is to increase our inner light. And I talked a fair amount about this on the January episode of this show when I was answering a question from a listener. So if you want to listen or re-listen to that episode to hear more about increasing our inner light, that can be found on the HealthyLife.net website under this show's archives, Secrets of Sacred Healing. And another way to cultivate peace is to cultivate good thoughts about everyone and every being. When we resonate with safety, meaning all those around us feel fully safe in our presence, including people and animals, that feeling reverberates back to us. So we are cultivating harmlessness. We can also ground to the earth. Grounding or placing our bare feet on the grass or on natural rocks can be very soothing and calming. As we ground or anchor to the earth, the mighty strength of the earth lends a sense of sturdiness and steadiness, of support. And we can spend time among trees, especially the big ones. Please remember that we and they, trees, are channels for higher celestial light. And what's great about trees is that they never interfere with or resist the flow. And they can anchor that light into the earth. And just being in nature can help restore our peace, especially taking a walk in nature if possible. That's a great way to help restore our peace. There is an innate healing power across nature that can bring our soul more to the forefront of our existence. And when that happens, everything can improve. Nature is a sacred space and is ideal for supporting us in reaching our highest potential and in finding peace. And one reason I like to share concepts and ideas is that, again, when we elevate our mindset, we do not necessarily have the same need for physical help, such as physical remedies and therapies. Still, while we're in the process of up-leveling ourselves to more helpful thoughts and beliefs and encouraging and coaching ourselves through continued improvement, if we need a little support, there are physical therapies and remedies that can support us on their path. And so let's talk about physical nourishment. I've mentioned in previous episodes that many minerals are emblematic of support in various ways and can stand in for support as we cultivate our own. And there are nutrients to help support us living in peace. Number one is magnesium. And also in terms of minerals, things like silica and calcium, which I've talked about before. And in terms of vitamins, B vitamins, vitamin C, there's a lot of nutrients that can help us in feeling more and more stable and more strength and more peace. And, you know, I mentioned B vitamins. It's all B vitamins, really, for a variety of reasons, as they each have several functions and are emblematic of different things. You know, vitamin B2, to me, is emblematic of courage, and B12 is emblematic of working faith. These are just a couple quick examples. And let's take another quick break, but we'll be right back with our show, Secrets of Sacred Healing, where we'll talk more about physical therapeutics to help us cultivate peace and harmony. Please do join us after this quick break.
As an accomplished speaker, college professor, holistic educator, Barbara Starflower knows how to use food, herbs, and flowers as restorative, botanical, and energetic therapies. Why not explore this at your next online or in-person group venue? Or how about a talk on cooperative and ecological cultivation, or even how to plant nourishing, reliable harvests on your own land? And much more. Get Barbara to speak at your event. It's easy. Just email grace@barbarastarflower.com. That's grace@barbarastarflower.com.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Your destination for healing with flowers should be BarbaraStarflower.com. There's so much information for natural healing, cooperating with nature, and other fun topics. Barbara is an ambassador for the earth and for nature, a longtime ecological grower, and an advocate for natural healing methods. So you'll learn from the best when you visit BarbaraStarflower.com. With microblogs, book excerpts, and advance information on her upcoming books and courses, you won't want to miss her website, BarbaraStarflower.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
Trees are sentient beings that deserve our love and respect. They help us in so many ways. Just 1 acre of forest absorbs 6 tons of carbon dioxide and produces 4 tons of oxygen, so we can breathe easier and help the planet at the same time. Property values increase with trees as much as 20%. Placed properly, trees reduce your air conditioning and heating bills, improve water quality, and stop chemicals from entering waterways. Trees help people, animals, water, land, and air. So the next time you see a tree, say thank you and take care of them. They're in your corner.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Secrets of Sacred Healing, where we've been talking today about cultivating peace and harmony. I'm Barbara Starflower, and thanks for staying with us. So we've been talking about physical therapeutics that can help us cultivate peace. And as another example, things that taste sweet can be very soothing. And I think that's why people often reach for sweet treats or perhaps maybe even become addicted to them. And there are indeed many delightful options. Now, I've talked and written previously about the parallel between food and information we take in. For example, if we eat something artificial or heavily processed, that could parallel taking in information received from others that can at times be clouded by false beliefs or fears or even agendas, sometimes even greed. So information shared from, I'll say, unconnected others, just like adulterated or processed foods, could warrant caution, but as always, it's up to you. When we, though, pursue unadulterated, unprocessed foods, especially low in the food chain, unmodified and direct from nature, we receive nourishment that is more pure. And that parallels when we connect directly with our own higher knowing. We receive information that is uncontaminated and appropriate to us. So I mentioned that things that taste sweet can be very soothing, and many fruits are sweet and can be some of the healthiest foods available. Like bananas, especially when they're fully ripe, can be very soothing, and pears can be especially soothing. Another soothing fruit is mango. Oh, and another very nurturing fruit is avocado. It has a very nurturing resonance. And kiwi has very sacred properties that can help cultivate a sense of peace and appreciation. And when sweet tastes are paired with sour, that can get us moving in a better direction. The taste of sour can help us live in a way that excites the senses and also helps develop sensibilities, meaning we can develop fortitude through action and follow our soul's path to get us going in the right direction in a way, though, that supports our health, as, again, not all people are meant to do all things. So another group of foods that can be quite soothing and calming include the melons, starting with cucumber, which can help ease emotional challenge. It's very cooling in all of those meanings. And the other melons as well, whichever is your favorite. And when we're feeling heated or angry, they're especially helpful. And raw organic honey can really help. It doesn't take much, and it is especially potent when beekeepers are attuned and put the health and the needs of the bees first. Now, in terms of herbs, a very special herb that includes five tastes, so sweet, sour, pungent, bitter, salty, is schizandra, and it's often called five-taste fruit. Schizandra can be very balancing spiritually and physically, and that can help restore internal harmony. And another herb that can be soothing is chamomile, or chamomile, if you wish to try. Chamomile can be helpful as it can support relaxation, specifically related to releasing tension that we hold toward non-acceptance of things, which can really, when we release that tension, we can really find more inner peace. And another herb that can be helpful in restoring peace and soothing our nervous system is passion flower. That's also true for lemon balm. Lemon balm can also help us understand the purpose of our experiences and help us align more directly with those with similar objectives for positive transformation. I'm drinking a tea now of chamomile and lemon balm. And skullcap can also be relaxing and can be especially helpful to take at night as a warm tea. And if we don't feel peaceful due to emotions we just can't seem to transcend, then red clover can be helpful. Burdock can help clear disruptive aspects from our systems, helping bring a sense of calm and peace. Basil can be quite helpful for a different reason. It has a special property that can foster enthusiasm, including redirecting our energy toward improvement. And the herb thyme, T-H-Y-M-E, can also be helpful. I've mentioned thyme in several episodes of the show, and there are very special reasons for that. Thyme has an ability to help us clear obstacles that have unhelpfully infiltrated our core sensitivities. I hope that makes sense. And thyme can help foster courage in moving forward in a better direction. That can help us reestablish our original peace and harmony, and courage is quite important in these times. And additional herbs that can be helpful are cilantro and parsley. They're both helpful in releasing toxins that can disrupt our peace. And the seeds of cilantro, which we would call coriander, can be very helpful, calming and uplifting. It can be nice to cook with coriander seed. And the more we each tap into our own knowing, including as to what is best for us, in our situation, the more we move forward. So I want to encourage again, and as always, that you check in with yourself as to which, if any, of these resonate with your highest well-being. So a few more examples. Ginger, both the taste and the smell, can be very warming and soothing. Also in terms of taste and smell, one of the most soothing tastes and scents is real vanilla. And also in terms of aromas, myrrh, that's M-Y-R-R-H, myrrh can foster inner peace, tranquility. Spikenard can also help us find and restore peace. Both jasmine and Himalayan cedar can be very helpful in relieving anxiety. Lavender can be very calming and soothing. Sweet marjoram can help restore a sense of contentment. I mentioned lemon balm before as an herb, also as an aroma, can be very calming, especially if we have a sense of fear or foreboding. Patchouli is grounding and calming. Rose can be very soothing. Sandalwood can be calming. It can help us instill inner unity. And there are many flower essences that can be so helpful, like white chestnut, also red chestnut, arnica, aspen, mimulus, burdock, cedar, camellia, elm, phlox. Really, there are so many wonderful options. I hope to devote more time in an upcoming episode to share the amazing benefits of flower essences in more detail. And so there are also many flowers that can support us in cultivating our peace. It can be such a blessing to be in the presence of flowers. Flowers can help awaken higher properties in our consciousness that ultimately can be reflected as harmonization and restoration. And there's so many, but for the sake of time, I'll share just two flowers today that can be helpful in restoring our peace. But again, there's so many. And one is Lily of the Valley. She broadcasts gentle, spiritual fortification as we come to have faith in our own process of development and evolution, helping us to acknowledge the healing aspects of our experiences. And another flower that can also help restore our peace are lilacs, especially those that are light purple or lilac in color. They can help us retune and align our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects, which can help restore peace. And certain colors can also be peaceful. They can be subjective, but still, a primary color of peace is blue. Another is white, and especially golden white. And also soft, pale lilac or violet or lavender can be harmonizing. Pink can be soothing. Soft yellow can be helpful. Green can be harmonizing. Magenta can help us support, I'll say, internal peace through soul healing. And we need to put in another break here, but we'll be right back with our show, Secrets of Sacred Healing, where we'll talk more about cultivating peace and harmony. Please do join us after this quick break.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Secrets of Sacred Healing. I'm Barbara Starflower. And my hope is that this information and these inspirations shared today about cultivating peace and harmony have been helpful, and that you find even better ways to reach higher and higher. And your experiences offer encouragement and inspiration to others. We are the architects of our experience, and there are ways to live in harmony. As we give ourselves over to trust of the divine and live in a way that trusts that we will be cared for, that we will be looked after, and that we will be loved. Please join us on the next episode of Secrets of Sacred Healing, which airs the third Wednesday of each month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. I'm Barbara Starflower, wishing you joy and continued blessings in the restoration of your highest nature and on your journey of exceptional well-being.